Now turn with me once again to our Bible reading in the book of Proverbs chapter 18. And today we're going to look together briefly at the words of verse 24. Proverbs 18 and verse 24. Where the Bible says, "A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother." A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Let's just pause for a moment, unite our hearts in prayer again, and ask God's blessing as we gather around his word. Heavenly Father, we pray today, Lord, that thou wouldst bless our time around the word of God. Break thou the bread of life, dear Lord, to me, as thou didst break the loaves beside the sea. Lord, we pray that that bread will be broken into very small pieces today, that even the very youngest child might benefit from it and be blessed through it. Give to me the power of God, the Holy Spirit, and equip me in the preaching of thy word. And may the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart find acceptance before thy throne. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I was quite taken aback this week to read a report locally published by the Royal College of General Practitioners for Northern Ireland that said that loneliness has become such a public health epidemic, and that for lonely patients, a 10-minute GP appointments are unfit for purpose, as doctors need more time to care. It is estimated that 1 in 5 patient visits in all general practices in Northern Ireland are due to loneliness. People visit their doctor because they're lonely and they need someone to talk to. The Royal College has said loneliness and social isolation puts people at a 50% increased risk of an early death compared to those with good social connections. That's a staggering statistic. In a part of the world that likes to think of itself as family orientated and socially connected and friendly and outreaching, I wish the Royal College well in the implementation of their plans, because we do know that loneliness from the youngest to the oldest is the cause of much heartache and much despair. I do not believe the church can address all of the ills of a fallen society in which we live in, but we ought to make sure that we're looking out for the lonely and the isolated amongst the ranks, first of all, of the people of God. It would be an awful indictment upon us that it would be said that that individual belongs to that Bible-believing church, and yet they're lonely. And they never have a one to visit them or to call with them or to give to them a word of encouragement. The world can be a lonely place. And if the world can be a lonely place, the church ought to mirror the image of the Lord Jesus Christ and be a friendly place. We need to be ever reaching out the hand of friendship, not only to those amongst our own ranks, but further into society, because there are many out there in society who walk a lonely pathway. I think there is much more that could be done collectively as a church. You know, it's not enough, brethren and sisters, just occasionally when we come to a gospel mission type of event or some special service in the congregation, just for you to hand out an invitation to some unsaved person and expect them to come in. You and I will have to win the friendship of that individual. And that might take a long number of years before that friendship is won. our whole attitude within the church, I think it needs to be sensitized that when someone comes in, that we do reach out the hand of Christian friendship. It's not always accepted, but that shouldn't stop us from reaching it out. Not just a nominal gesture, but a real expression of Christian friendship and helpfulness. We need to be outreaching into the community. We cannot stay within this building and say this is just the focus of our ministry and attention. We do have to be reaching out. And even in times of fellowship within the church, we do have to take advantage of those times of fellowship. Even the suppers, the little fellowship times during the summertime, they are and have been a blessing to many people in the days that have gone by. It is just reaching out the hand of Christian friendship in fellowship. So our text today, of course, and this has been on my mind all week, it deals with the subject of loneliness. Sometimes people wouldn't even think the Bible would address itself to such a subject, but it obviously does. And it gives us the excellent advice on making and also on keeping friends. It's one thing to make a new acquaintance. It's another thing to hold on to that acquaintance and to seek to develop that friendship. So the advice and the counsel in Proverbs 18:24 is very simple. If you want to have friends, you have to be friendly. You know, such is the fractured nature of society in which we live in. Sometimes it's difficult to find the structures in which even to make those friendships. Where do you go to? Where does, say, a Christian person go to? Our friend, Pastor Burroughs, discovered this and his dear wife, Anne, many years ago over in Birmingham. They went to visit some of the older people, and they had nowhere to go to. Do the older people go down to an older believer? Are we to ask them to go down to the bingo hall? Is that all the social interaction we can give to them? Is that the best that we can do for those who profess the Lord's name? Just allow the world to wheel up to the door and to wheel them out and take them out to some ungodly social gathering. And it challenged the heart of Roland and his wife Anne, and they started the Cherith Centre, which was just an outreach for older people. And they found in that community where they live in the greater Birmingham area, there were dozens, especially of older people, many of them who knew the Lord, who had nowhere to go and had no social interaction. Such is the fractured nature of society in which we live in. And still to this day, years afterwards, that little ministry, the Cherith Trust, is still continuing. Are there not seeds of thought there for our own ministry in reaching out just the hand of friendship? We don't live in a big city like Birmingham, but I believe there's certainly more we could do collectively, and there's certainly more we could do individually. The text goes beyond merely talking about making and keeping friends. It tells us about the friend who sticketh closer than a brother. Now, what friendship there must be that it goes beyond the boundaries of blood relationships. We know here in Mourne how tight some of those family relationships are, and we know the old adage is absolutely true that blood runs thicker than water, and it absolutely does. But here's an illustration. Here's an example of a friendship that is closer even than a blood brother. I believe the person spoken of in the latter part of our text points us to the Lord Jesus Christ. And if words convey any meaning to us, then it is Christ who sticks closer than any brother. Christ is the ultimate answer to every lonely heart. Of course, we do need human interaction and we do need human friendship. Friends of worth and friends of value. But we all need the friendship and the experience of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is God's antidote to loneliness. Human friends and families can, and sadly, sometimes do fail us and forsake us. But as we were singing that lovely hymn by Oakman, was there ever a saint that the Lord Jesus forsook? No, not one. No, not one. Was there ever a sinner that he didn't take in? No, not one. No, not one. What a friend is the Lord Jesus Christ. I want today to consider with you some lessons from this very special friendship of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray that it will help to nurture that friendship that you and I have with him. And if you know him not as your friend, it will be the very means that God will use today to bring you to know him and trust him as your own and personal Savior. So first of all, let's learn about the invaluable nature of Christ's friendship. The friendship is invaluable, I believe, because it's of the purest kind. True friendship, of course, can only exist between individuals who trust each other. You couldn't really trust your friendship to someone who is untrustworthy, who is impure, who is insincere. It would be a very fickle, it would be a very unstable relationship. You can only really have friends with someone who is someone that you can trust and put your trust in. You would never put your trust in someone over whom you have a doubt. You'd never put your trust in someone who you know is not trustworthy or through harsh experience has proved to be not trustworthy. But the Lord Jesus Christ is totally different. The Bible tells us about him in 1 Peter 2 and verse 22 that he never knew any sin. You and I know sin. We know, as we said with the boys and girls, how sin destroyed the perfect environment in which we were originally created. It destroys our social interaction with other people. It destroys the environment in which we live in. But the Lord Jesus Christ, he never knew sin. In thought, in word, or in deed. It's a concept that you and I couldn't even comprehend. That we never ever had a wrong thought. We never ever said a wrong word. We never ever did a wrong deed. There is none of Adam's race of which that could be said. Only the Lord Jesus Christ. There was never any sin in him. Neither was any guile found in his mouth. When the very demons of hell came along to him, they couldn't find a flaw in his character. There is no friendship that can be compared with the friendship of Christ. We are impure. We are the rubbish that was on the rubbish tip. But in grace he reached out to us. The pure, spotless Lamb of God, he reached out to us in friendship, in grace, in love, in mercy. And he sought to bring us in. This friendship can't be bought. Some human beings think they can buy the friendship of others, and thus they try to, as it were, to curry favor with them by buying them gifts or presents, etc. And they try to win friends and influence by climbing that social ladder of success. And so long as their success lasts, and so long as their money lasts, their friends last. We think of the prodigal son. He went out into the far country. When he had money, he had friends. And that's just what a lot of worldly friends are like. When you have money to entertain them, they'll be there. But young person, when the money goes, the friends will go. You will find those that you thought the world of will forsake you. Will forsake you at the drop of a hat. I'm glad that the friendship of Christ cannot be bought by men, else it would just be like every other friendship in the world. There is nothing that you and I have that could commend ourselves to the Lord. Nothing. We were just like that pile of rubbish on the dump. Really, that's just what we were, spiritually speaking. And in grace, the Lord Jesus Christ came along and he set his love upon us and he initiated that friendship. And we love him today because he first loved us. We know him today because he first came to us. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. This friendship of Christ is invaluable, not just in words, but in deeds. The worldling compliments his friend, but wouldn't lift a finger to help him with his substance. It's just an empty shadow. It's superficial, and there's no depth in it. The Lord Jesus Christ came from the realms of glory and heaven above. He came as the friend of sinners. And he manifested that friendship in the incarnation. He dwelt amongst us. The pure dwelt amongst the impure. The spotless Son of God dwelt in the depravity and the defilement of mankind. He came to the rubbish dump. But much more than all of that, we read in John 15, verse 13, Jesus said, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." The Lord Jesus Christ, as the friend of sinners, he laid down his life for them on the center cross of Calvary. And all of our impurities, all of our sin, all of our defilement, all of our guilt, he took upon himself. And he bore it all in our guilty room and in our stead. Was there ever a friend like the Lord Jesus Christ? No, not one. He's no fair weather friend. Fair weather friends are no friends at all. Spurgeon famously once put it, he would prefer a robin for a friend than a swallow, because the swallows come in summer and they leave again when the winter comes. And there are some swallow, shallow friends. And when the dark clouds of winter come and the storms surround you and you find yourself in trouble, there's not one of them to be seen. But that's not so with Christ. There's no friendship to be compared with the friendship of Christ. I commend him to you today. He sticks closer than any brother. I thank God for my family, and I thank God for my brother. But there's a friend closer than my brother. The Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're missing out on that friendship, you're missing out on the most invaluable friendship of all. Secondly, notice the inferences that we can draw from his friendship. Well, we can infer from the text that for friendship to develop, there has to be a two-way process. If a man desires to have friends, what does the Bible say? Be friendly. If you want to have friends in the church, be friendly in the church. Some people complain, "Nobody speaks to me," but they never speak to anybody else. If you want to have friends in workplace, show yourself to be friendly. I am not saying everyone will reciprocate the friendship. But as Christians, we are to show that friendship of Christ to others. It's a lesson to be applied regardless of where you are in the week that lies ahead or what you're doing. In other words, if you want to have friends, be friendly. And friends require our reciprocated friendship. This is how human relationships not only are formed, but it's how human relationships are nurtured. And the Lord Jesus Christ has loved us with an everlasting love. And he who has loved us with an everlasting love, he yearns that that love be reciprocated. This is encapsulated in what Jesus called the first and the greatest commandment. Because in Matthew 22:36, we read, a young man said to Jesus, "What's the greatest commandment?" And Jesus said, verse 37, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind." This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, "Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." This is the test of every professing child of God. Your friendship with Christ, it demands your total love and devotion. If you're a friend of Christ, He said, I want you to love me with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind. And then to love your neighbor for me as you would yourself. Now with this friendship comes testing. As with friendship of all kinds, so the friendship that we profess with Christ is tested. And the test of friendship is outlined for us in John's Gospel, chapter 15. John chapter 15 and verse 14. The Lord Jesus spoke these words. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. This is the true test of all who profess to know and love the Lord. You can only profess friendship with Christ if you obey his commands, if you do all that he commands you. If you claim friendship with Christ today, then you're no longer a free agent in the word. In every word you speak, in every deed you do, in every place you go, you're a friend of Christ. Now, would a friend of Christ come from the pub or the club? Would a friend of Christ walk with the world, hand in hand with the world? I have heard over the past few weeks people on the radio, and they're saying, oh, I'm a Christian, but I can indulge in the very sins that God condemns. They're not saying that, of course, but by their lifestyle they're doing that. If God says it's wrong, you can't be a friend with it. If you're a friend of Christ, you can't be a friend of the world. And if you're a friend of Christ, the Bible teaches us that you have an enemy in the world. Because James chapter 4 and 4 tells us, whosoever will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. The closer you get to Christ, the fiercer will be the opposition of the world. And the world is no friend to the child of God. If some Christians could only get that into your mind. This world is no friend to grace to help you on to God. You'll not find true friendship in the world, but you'll find it with Christ. Dear believer, what is wrong with your relationship with Christ that you're looking for friendship in the world? What is wrong with your walk with Christ that you prefer to walk with the world? I want to conclude today by considering with you an introduction to this friendship. It's not the automatic birthright of fallen men and women. By the fall of our first parents, the Bible tells us that we became alienated from God. When Adam and Eve sinned, they hid from God. Once they had walked with God in the cool of the garden and they had been with God, but after the fall, they hid themselves from God. They tried to cover themselves, because they sensed their shame, their sin, their nakedness. And rather than being born the children of God, we're born the children of wrath and disobedience. That's not a doctrine that the world likes to hear. The world likes to hear, regardless of what you profess, you're a child of God. But the Bible teaches the very opposite. Every individual born of Adam's lost and fallen race is a child of wrath and disobedience rather than being friends with God. How then can you come to know this friend so true? Well, it's through Christ and his atoning work of Calvary. Christ, in laying down his life, as already referenced, John 15:13, laying down his life for his friends, he opened up the way for you and I, who were alienated from him, to become friends with him. He initiated the friendship. He opened up the way for that friendship to be made. It is through the cleansing of his own precious blood that sinners who are stained with sin and defiled by sin can be made clean. As we sang in that lovely little children's hymn, none that not that defileth can ever enter in. There's nobody will ever enter in, even with one speck of defilement upon them. It's nothing but the cleansing blood of Jesus can make the foulest sinner clean. An introduction, of course, is of no benefit unless it's taken up and used. Only those who come and partake of the benefits of Christ's death can enjoy the privileges of his friendship. And I think that has been a stumbling block to multitudes, is a stumbling block to multitudes. They've heard of this wonderful friend, but so what? They've known others to trust in him as their friend and Lord and Savior, but they've never taken up the introduction themselves. I love that verse in Job 22:21. It says, "Acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace, thereby good shall come unto thee." The word acquaint means to know personally. It means to make familiar with. It means to know firsthand. If somebody says that individual is a close acquaintance with you, you know exactly what they mean. You know them firsthand. You're familiar with them. You're homely with them. And if you want to know the friendship of this wonderful friend who sticketh closer than a brother, then you need to come to know him. You need to seek him. You need to turn from your sin. And you need to call upon him with all of your heart. Jeremiah 29:13 tells me, "Ye shall seek me and find me when ye search for me with all of your heart." The searching heart will always find the seeking Savior. And have you been searching for Christ with all of your heart? Because if you've been searching for Christ with your heart, you'll find him. There's a solemn reality, of course, here to conclude with. If you know not the friendship of Christ in life, well, how then can you claim it in death or in eternity? At death, you're going to say, "Oh, I was a friend of the Lord Jesus Christ, but I never knew him in life." In eternity, you're going to say, "Oh, I was a friend of the Lord Jesus Christ, but I refused him in life." What an awful experience to stand before God in the final judgment day, and you've no friend. Don't think those ungodly friends will stand with you. They'll be standing before God alone, as you will be. And the loneliest spot in all of the universe to stand will be to stand in the judgment without a friend, without an advocate, with no one to intercede or to plead your name or your cause. Who would want to be without the friendship of Christ in the light of the certainty of God's judgment day? You'll not know this week if this week is the week that God has planned to call you out into eternity. You'll not know it. You'll not know what day, you'll not know what hour, you'll not know how in the day or in the hour that God will call you to give an account of your life unto him. You'll not know it. And it could be this week. We've thought in the past week how others were so suddenly taken. But I can tell you today, the hand of friendship is offered to you. It's the hand of grace. It's the hand of mercy. It's the hand of God's love. And he invites you to take it and to embrace it. This is the day of grace. This is the day of gospel opportunity. This is the day to come to know the friend of sinners, the Lord Jesus Christ. And thereafter, if you come to know him and love him and trust him, there might be stages along the journey that you'll be without human friends. But I'll tell you one thing, you'll never be without the friendship of Christ, the one who sticketh closer than any brother. What an offer that he offers his friendship to fallen, sinful individuals on the rubbish pit of sin. And he offers his mercy and his grace to you. And I plead with you today, you accept that offer. And you embrace him and embrace his salvation and his mercy before you leave this building.